You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
I want all the viewers in the world today to know that this creature is out there. I have no doubt in my mind that there is a primate, a hominoid, a biped, something that walks on two all over this country. There's an unknown species out there, and we're going to find it. We've done vocalizations. We receive something in return, answering to it. We're going to be sharing our finds with the world, because what we've got now, no one else has. And the legend carries on by the work that we've done all these years.
Bigfoot is a movie at www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out of the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side with me, and we're talking moccasins and jello. Planning a party they're gonna have. Out in the St. John's Swamps, Sasquatch doing his brand new dance, and they called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And, folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Discardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Discardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, good evening, everybody. This is Marco Bill. And Tom had a... just before the show here, had to take off real quick. He had an emergency meeting he had to go to, and it was just a last-minute thing. They just called him. It was very important. But anyway, we're here tonight. Alex had to go to a banquet tonight. He won't be with us. And, of course, we always like to say hi out there to all of our listeners. And I'd like to give special shout-outs and prayers some of our people out there who are not feeling well. Of course, Alex is still in recovering from his operation. And, of course, Mitch Waite's mother, she seems to be doing better, but she's ill. So we can always use a few prayers. If anybody else out there knows of anybody that's really having a hard time, and just send us an email or let us know, and we'll give them a little shout-out and some prayers to all of you. Okay? Well, big time tonight, everybody. Is the budget going to pass by the weekend, or are a bunch of us going to not get paid? Anyway, that's the big thing in the news the last couple of days. We'll find out. Jan Allen, are you there, my friend?
Yes, sir. Sitting right here.
Why don't you just give us a readout of who's in that chat room tonight?
All right, we can do that for you, Marco. We got 000 in there. We got Alex from Ascrow. He's kind of hiding in the bushes. We got Mr. Bill Green, the Chief, Miss Connie Gilbert from Canada. Hello, Connie. We got Dave O. We got, of course, me. We don't know who that guy is. And we got Miss Rosebud, the Secret 48, West Rock. And it looks like we got four guests. And the guests can go down to the bottom of the page to the nickname, click on it, and y'all can sign in and put your name up and join the chat with us. That's it, Marco.
Well, fine. We know our first guest, I called him just before the show started here. We started the show a minute late so I could call him. He's evidently having problems dialing in, or his phone's not working properly. So what we're going to have to do is we'll just go straight on ahead, and we'll start with our second guest, which is Dan.
I wonder who that could be.
Dan, you know, you've been working here for the last few weeks on quite a few things, getting ready for this upcoming expedition. Is it on the 12th of April?
Well, no, it's actually the 11th. We're leaving we're leaving out now for tomorrow.
Anyway, and I've been calling Jan every once in a while here to check on and see how he's doing. And boy, I mean, I'm telling you, he's been burning the midnight oil, fixing the house, fixing the trailer, fixing everything up, getting everything ready. I'm sure at the last minute it gets to be a real thing. Not only that, but you've had some little spurts of activity going on down there. So, Jan, why don't you just tell us, start out with the local activity there, what's taking place and what's going on, and then we'll transition into your upcoming event.
Sure, not a problem. Yeah, about, I'd say 3 weeks ago, I got a report from a sighting that took place in Rootville, Georgia. It's about 10 miles from us. We went in on it. We put 4 investigators in the woods. We spent right out 3 hours in. It looked promising in the beginning, but we started, you know, where the gentleman was telling us that, you know, looking at the area, they had a lot of tore up trees, and it honestly looked like a storm had went through, but everything was Bigfoot. And we found out that we were actually the 4th team that had been called in at that time. I have talked with one of the other investigators from another team that I know, and things just didn't add up. So at this point, we've kind of wrote it off. It's not to say that they didn't have a creature there at one point, but it turned into multiple creatures. You know, while we were there, when we first got there, it was 4 creatures that they had already given names to. And by the time we left 3 hours later, you know, it had went from 4 to 5. So, you know, 1 and 1 didn't add up to 2.
Dan, isn't that, you know, what we really do is we get reports or notifications of things that take place, and then we go investigate them. And,
sure.
And we find out what it is. And sometimes, I mean, a lot of times it's, you know, it's the real deal. And sometimes it's not, sometimes it could be. We don't know.
Right.
And so it's just guess what? I think our friend Morris dialed in. Are you there, Morris?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I'm going to put you on next after Jan, okay, Morris?
Yes, I'll listen in.
Okay. You just hold on. Thank you. Well, go ahead, Jim. But anyway, we go and investigate these things and report them, and we find out what the investigation results were. And sometimes they have some very, very solid evidence, you know, footprints and things, you know that, and tree
trunks,
and hair, and I mean all kinds of stuff. And in other times, there's very little to go on. And it's a worthwhile effort. We need to do that. I think, don't you?
It's been a passion for me for 43 years. I've been doing this since 1968.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a passion for me to get out and do it. My dogs are going to go crazy on me now. But, you know, and we go on the reports when we get them. And, you know yourself, not all of them's going to pan out. It's like I say, if you get 100 reports and, we won't go that far. If we get 10 reports and one of them pans out, we've done good.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, if you go on 10 and you get 10 good ones, you know, if everybody done that, we would have already brought this story to a close a long time ago.
Absolutely. And the other thing is, Dan, I think that happens a lot is, you know, sometimes you don't have a lot to go on, and neither do the people that have encounters sometimes. Sometimes the encounter is not one where they can absolutely see or define it, and, of course, it's probably enough to scare the heck out of you.
Right, yeah. And
some of the noises and other things that happen, and so, you know, it's you know, you just have to go in and do the best you can do to try to glean out what was real and how much it was towards being a real creature that somebody saw.
Right, and you know, when we go in, I go in with the attitude that I try to prove that it wasn't there. And then when I find something, then I know I have found something that's pretty concrete.
Well, that's great. Now, about this upcoming expedition you guys are planning, who all's going on?
Oh, Lord. We started out, and you know how that goes. You start out with a herd of people, and by the time you get down to it, it kind of whittles down, but... We originally had 23 people going, and now we're down, I think, to about 14. But, you know, it's still good. Chris Allen's coming from West Virginia. You know, he's a part of the GBRI team also, so he's coming down and going out with us. Unfortunately, Alex and Mitch wasn't able to make it, and Tom wasn't able to make it.
Right.
But, you know, maybe they can catch the next one when we go back in October. We got a lady that's flying in tomorrow from Canada over toward Vancouver. She's flying in to go in on it with us. Chris is going to pick her up at the airport in Atlanta.
Wow.
So, yeah, and, you know, the regular team that we have going up, we got I've got my lead tracker is with another group also. It's called the Enigma Group, and... The leader or the guy that's over that, his name's Lee Culver, is a professional tracker also, and he's tracked in five continents. And he got so good, I mean, he's tracked fugitives on concrete. But, and he might be going in with us. If he doesn't go in for the entire weekend, he's supposed to drive up to the location and, I guess, spend the day in with us. So, yeah, we're really hoping to come back with with something good this time. But you know how that goes. You know, it's a hit-and-miss thing. It's a 50-50 chance, and
sure.
We're just willing to take the chance.
Now, what without giving away the exact location, what areas are you planning on going to?
Well, it's going to be in the Chattahoochee National Forest.
Okay.
And it's up in northwest Georgia.
Okay, is it mountainous or terrain?
Yeah.
Woods and
mountains? Yeah, it's woods and mountains. We're in the foothills of the Appalachians.
Lots of water around there?
Yeah, there's good water source. There's great food source there. You know, we did investigations up there from 1987, from January of 87 to October of 96. And when we left out of there then, we had seven of these creatures documented. We had a family up there.
Wow.
And so we went back in 2008 and done a day trip, you know, just to look around, took memory pictures and things like that. And we think that we had caught one on one of the pictures. So we, you know, at that time just decided that we was going to start going back in. I contacted all the people that we worked with in the past, which had retired. But they told the new people coming in about it, so we were welcomed back in with open arms. And we just started up doing expeditions back up there last April. And the last two trips really turned out some pretty good stuff for us.
Huh. Now, what kind of equipment are you taking with you?
Well, in the past, we weren't a real technical team. We always did it the old-fashioned way, you know. Like the old hunters and trappers did back in the 1800s. That's the way we hit it. But, you know, since then, now we've got, you know, recording equipment. We got a new investigator from North Georgia that's coming in. It's bringing in a lot of recording equipment. We got infrared equipment now. So, you know, we're a lot better set than we were, and we're going to be doing what we call night maneuvers. We're going to be doing a few night runs, you know, during the night up there. And hopefully that'll pan out something for us.
Well, that's great. Well, you know, Jan, I appreciate you coming on tonight to talking with us about it. It's been a while since you've been on the show here, and I know you've been working hard. But it's always a pleasure to have you on, and I'll thrill to listen to you. And I just hope that you guys have the best of luck when you go out there. Tom told me to tell you guys tonight that he really is going to miss out on this. He's looking forward to it. Things didn't pan out too well for Mitch or for Tom. And I know Mitch wanted to go too, but he just got some other things that he has to take care of. But
he sent me an email where he's at, and he's like it was cold and snowing and everything else, and he would much rather be in Georgia.
I know. Well, stay high to all your teams and everybody there, and as you go, if you get anything happening during the trip there, if you get a couple minutes, give me a call, and maybe we can do a report from the field there on one of the shows.
Okay. Yeah, because we're going to have laptops up there, so we will have internet access. So, yeah, I can get with you that way, or I can buzz you on the phone. Either way,
yep, cell phone is all you need. We can get you on the show, and we can talk about it. That's what we used to. That's what we do on the field with Tom.
Right. Yeah.
But you can get pictures and other things too if you have them, and we can put them up there, and everybody can take a look and see what's happening.
Oh, we'll definitely do that. You know, and that's the way I work. What I get is what you see. You know, I don't go out there and create things, or, you know, it's got to be pretty concrete for me to bring it forward. But what I get, you will see it.
Great. And I wish you guys the very best of luck, and I hope everything turns out great.
Well, I thank you, Mr. Marco, but we will, and I will get in touch with you when we get back on Monday.
Thank you so much. And thanks for coming on the show tonight here, Jim.
All right, big guy.
Just hit your *6 button, buddy, and I'll go on.
All right.
I'm going to go to commercial here, folks, and then when I come back, we're going to talk to Morris. Here we go.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And everybody, we're back again. Morris, are you there, my friend?
Yes, sir, I sure am.
How are you doing tonight?
Well, I just wanted to relay a story that happened to me. I do the wildfires in the summertime. And,
sure. Could I ask you, before we get into that, Morris, I just wanted to, could you tell everybody who you are and a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm a Native American. I'm kind of older, in my 50s, and I'm from the Blackfeet Nation here in Montana. Did you get that?
Oh, yeah, sure did. And of course, Bruce Schilt is an acquaintance of yours, correct?
Hey, Marco.
Yes.
Along the Rocky Mountain front.
Yes.
Excuse me. Hey, Marco, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, you've got a real bad loop effect going on in the chat room. Or from the show.
Oh, from the show? I don't know. What's going on?
Yeah, it's repeating itself real bad.
Huh. I don't know what that is. I don't know.
Yeah, it's that same thing doing like it did with me on 1,000 mics. As you just got, you know, you start your set.
There's nothing I can do about that. That's something to do with the network, the way the network is set up. We'll just have to contend with it. I don't know for now.
Okay,
anyway,
well,
thanks, Jan. Let me know. I'm sorry. Morris, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you, my friend.
We're talking about the Yeti, the Bigfoot.
Yeah, what is your name? What is the Native American name of Blackfeet? What would they call it?
We don't really have a name for him. He's not really in our legends.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't exist in our legends too much.
Uh-huh.
But the surrounding tribes around us, like the Flathead, the Kootenai, a lot of the people up north here, up by Canada, the people from Rocky Mountain House, the Cree Indians, a lot of the Indians from British Columbia have the ceremonies that pertain to Bigfoot, and they call him to come. He's a spirit to us, to a lot of the Native Americans. That's why we never see him, because he comes in a spirit, from what we understand. And so, for me to understand that, if you have to believe in Bigfoot, then you believe in UFOs, and you believe in other beings out there that not only we exist, but other entities that are, we don't seem to understand, but we're not allowed to really see them, because a lot of them are here for our healing, and I believe that Bigfoot is part of that. He is here for certain things. He only comes when maybe there's a time of healing for certain other animals that need to be healed, or maybe people need to be healed, and he's sent here to do certain things. And I hear a lot of the ceremonies, and a lot of people have told me their story relating to Bigfoot, and I've been to the ceremony where he's actually come in. Now, if you're going to believe in all these things, then you got to open your mind to believe in what I'm telling you is true, because there's a song for Bigfoot to come and to the ceremony and heal the people that need to be healed. And when he dances, he makes the whole floor sway in about a good inch or two, almost to the breaking point, but it never broke, you know. So I got to witness a lot of these ceremonies from other tribes.
That's pretty good. So, well, you know what, Morris? I think everybody has to have an open mind,
and it's a good thing. You have to have an open mind to believe in that. You know, if you're gonna go that far with it, then I think if you're gonna go searching for him, you need to search within yourself first and get yourself clean to be able to see these things, to understand them, because that's just a higher power directing you to understand these things. You're not going to understand them until you get to their level, because they are pure and their creator has made them too. We're all made here in whatever creator made us as, and we all have an ancient history, as Bigfoot does too. So his spirit also has an ancient history. And a song and a dance was given to us, just like all the animals. All the people, the nations, have a Bigfoot. And I'm sure that they pray, and they're not going to share their secrets of the ceremony too much with too many outsiders or people, but I think it needs to be known. So that'll be a lot of controversy, and in the 21st century we need to come together and start understanding these things and accept them as they are, as we accept other beings from the world that come here. We have proof of that, so
yeah. We
should stop and have a good look at the Native Americans and the ones that perform the ceremonies, because they're actually the ones that call on him. And I see the coastal people, and people have literally come to me and told me the story of Bigfoot helping them when they were small kids. And so I told up on the fire line up here in Montana, she just came. Her house, even girl, the spirit took and carried her maybe 100 feet away from her house.
I don't know. Morris, you were cutting out. Are you there now?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, could you start that over? I'm sorry. You cut out for a couple minutes there. Can you?
I believe if they're going to search for Bigfoot, they have to search with somebody that has a little bit of knowledge of the of the understanding of him. He's a being that is kind of like a supreme being to me. And he exists only if you can only contact him if you really believe in him. He will come and show himself to you. But you have to meet him halfway. You can't just go see him. You've got to be clean. You've got to have a clean body, a clean mind. And there's got to be a reason. You can't just go want to see him like, you know, he's in a zoo, because he'll look at you and wonder who you are, what you want.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't show himself to everybody, but a lot of people have told me about him, and I'm one of these. I have a big mind to adventure to a lot of things that a lot of people haven't gone to, and just out of curiosity, and I've seen a lot of things and heard a lot of things that I couldn't understand myself, and I'm still wondering where where people have this knowledge. And it's right here. It's all over. But the people just have to have the right mind, open frame to go see him. And it starts with the native people, especially up there around Rocky Mountain House. The trees up there, they have the knowledge of the Bigfoot. And they have the ceremony to contact him. And he to them, he's a healer. And a lot of the native tribes call on him. Or if there are people here, we don't call on him too much, but we don't doubt him.
Well, what was your experience with it, Morris?
He came and blessed me and picked me up and kind of healed me. I was sick at the time, and he made me feel a lot better, just like a would come and do those things to you. You know, remember what I said, you got to live in a higher realm, and you've got to have a higher way of thinking. Not a guru or anything, but just have a real pure, positive mind. You've got to have a positive mind and believe in these things, because if you don't, then you're just wasting your time on the whole thing, and I wouldn't pursue it anymore. But it all starts with keeping your body purified before you go on this venture, and there has to be a reason. If you're not feeling good or feeling sickly, then you go search for him. He might come and help you. That's, do not go on these ventures with without that understanding. So if people are looking for him, they need to know that. And he does exist. He will show himself to certain people. It's up to them to get themselves clean and ready for him. They have to meet him on his level, not on their level, because he will not show himself. And that's the belief.
So it's a spiritual being for you? It's a spiritual being, the Native American?
Yes, he's a spiritual being. And he's very, he helps a lot of people, not only the Native people, the people over in Europe, all over in Russia, they all have contacts with him. Now, they're not Native, but they have the ceremony for him. They use animals to con different ceremonies, and they cleanse bodies maybe in a sweat lodge, almost the same as over here. The world's not different. It's all the same. The people just do little things a little bit different, but they all add up to the same thing, and that's to contact these spirits that people think that they're seeing or whatever, but these things have been around since. It's just a way of understanding them. I couldn't say it anymore because what I've gone through with him is really a spiritual thing. So that's all I could say about him.
Well,
I wouldn't call him a stink being or a bush ape or anything, because that's really offending him, because he is a pure being. And he, people don't have that. They don't have that understanding about him. They need to back up and start looking at him as a supernatural being. He's very, very, very aware of what we're doing.
Well, I think the more we find out about him, the more we know about him, then I think the better we are in understanding his view, and also your understanding the Native American way is a lot of things that probably we need to learn about, we don't know about.
Well, he's not only in the Native American legends, he's in all the legends of the world. All people have him in their legends, and he's in ancient history and all the books. But
I understand that, Morris. What I'm saying is, and there are variations in different tribes of how they comprehend him as well. Different some other tribes have a different aspect of him. Some have a where he is a healer, and there's others where he is a sort of a bad omen. It all depends on the belief of the tribe, but I'm really happy that you've shared your beliefs and understandings with us tonight. I know I've learned a lot I didn't know before, and we look forward to having you talking about it again sometime if you don't mind.
Sure, we sure could talk about it. My time's up, huh?
Well, if you have more to say, I'll be more than happy to. I thought you'd said that that's about all you could say about the creature. So I thought you were ending. So I was.
Well, There was a lady had approached me in 1994 up on the mountains. See, I'm out. I do the wildfires all the time, and I'm kind of overhead of my scalp.
Uh-huh.
I was sitting up on the mountain, and here comes a lady. She's in her 40s. I don't know where she come from. She came up to where I was sitting. I was watching for smoke or any kind of sign of fire taking off, and here comes this lady. Jumps off a big white truck and walks over to me, offers me tobacco and sweet grass, sits down in front of me, and I told her, "Who are you?" I won't mention her name, but anyway, she said, "I come to see you. Can you tell me what happened to me when I was a little girl?" And she told me that this being, a giant being, had come into her mom and dad's house. Now, she's a Kootenai, and then and it wasn't too far from where, as a matter of fact, where we were fighting fire, we could see her old village there. It's not there no more. She said this being had come into her house and had a lot of hair on it and fur, picked her up gently and carried her about 150 feet from her house early in the morning and just held her. And she said she'd been sickly since she was a little girl. And this thing that it was must have sang a song for her and held her, and then when he was done doing that, then he brought her back to the house and let her down. She went in. She's never told nobody that story because nobody would ever believe her, but she came to me out of nowhere, and I told her, "How do you know me?" She said, "I was sent to you." How did she find me on the mountain? That is another mystery. Who sent her? That is another mystery, because I never met this woman before, but she had the story to tell me. And
That's amazing.
She came in a way, and I don't think it was a hoax, but she came in a very honorable way, and she just wanted to relate the story to me and asked me, and I told her, well, maybe as Native American, it's all a spirituality, maybe in later years, and he might come back. You've got to believe in these kind of things and higher beings out there when dealing with fear. So those kind of things are starting, people are starting to see those all over the world. I think there's other entities out there that are real. And they're wondering, how are we going to contact them? They think they can take pictures of them and do little things like this, but in reality, they're higher beings. They ain't going to show themselves to us. You've got to get on their plane with them where they're at. So that's another part that the non-native has to learn. In order to understand those things. We're 6,000, 10,000 years ahead of you folks in those ways. We still have those ways of doing those things.
Mm-hmm.
And like I'll always tell the kids, for everything that you do, there's a song to it. So all animals in the world have a song. Even the underwater animals have a song. Bigfoot has a song. You ever get a hold of his song, you pray him and offer him tobacco or whatever way you... Whatever culture has a ceremony for him, there's your doorway, right there. There's your doorway to meet him. And that's all I can say for the people there. So if they have their ears open and they have that understanding, they want to get on that level of understanding, the door's open for them. They just have to find the right people that have the knowledge of that. And a lot of it here in British Columbia and Alberta, the coastal people all have that knowledge.
Oh, my God, I appreciate you coming on the show to share all this with us. You've given me a new insight on a lot of different things that I didn't think of before. And we'd just like to have you on again, if you don't mind.
All right. Okay.
But thank you for sharing and coming on the show. And if you want, you can listen to the rest of the show. If you hit your star button, that little asterisk-looking button,
yeah,
fix. It'll mute
okay.
you out.
What's your radio on of?
It's on the web. It's on the web. You have to have a computer on the web.
Okay, well, can you write down the
Yeah, sure. I will send you I'll give you a call tomorrow and I'll give you all the information. How's that?
All right. Right now we can just press the star button now.
So push star and then six. And then you can listen to the show on the phone.
All righty. Sounds good.
Okay. Thank you for coming on tonight.
All righty.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Morris Weaseltail and, from the Blackfeet Nation. And he has shared with us some of the Native American thoughts on Bigfoot. And a little later on, if we have enough time, we're going to bring Bruce Schultz on and have him give us a rundown of what's going on in his area up there, too, if he can. Right now, we're going to go and we're going to say hi to our our good friend, Becky Botello. Becky, are you there? Oh,
hello.
Becky, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Marco Bill?
I'm doing great. Well, Tom told me to tell you he's sorry he couldn't make it tonight. He called me just prior to the show starting here and had to take off. But we're continuing what we stopped where we stopped off last week. And you were basically, you and Don Monroe were out, and you were telling us last week about what you and Don had been, looking for and different things that you had looked for.
Mm-hmm.
So how about continuing on? Also, you might want to fill in, there's a couple other things that we were talking about earlier, if you have a couple of minutes. A couple other things that you also were involved in.
Okay, well, there's a lot that I'm involved in, so I'm going to let...
well, you just carry it on.
I'm somewhat dumbfounded. I have to put this out there. I would love to, Morris, if you're out there and you're listening to this show right now, I would love to have the opportunity to chat with you. I never thought in all the years and all the experiences that I had that I would have looked at things the way that he has looked, because if this was 20 years ago, I wouldn't have even known what he was talking about. But I am rapidly changing my mind about a lot of things, and I am also rapidly coming to the conclusion that these beings, and I will agree with that, beings are so highly intelligent. They always know that we're there before, you know, we ever know that they're there. And if they choose to produce themselves to us, they can. And that's one of the reasons why they are so elusive. There very well might be something to this multidimensional thing where, you know, they are in a physical body, but they can, I'm sure that everybody out there has heard by now that these beings can become invisible. And I always used to say, oh, sure, you know, where are these guys getting this? Well, you know what? I am starting to think that there is something to this, and J.C. Johnson knows a lot about this, too. Him and I have talked many times about some interesting things that have happened to him. And he has a lot to do with why I've changed my mind along the same lines that Morris is talking. So I'd like the opportunity to talk to him sometime. But I'll try to reiterate what it was that Don and I were doing. Now, out here in Pierce County, in Orting, there's an area that the Carbon River runs through. And this river and this whole entire area of Orting was the focal point for the book, for any of you out there who have read it, Valley of the Skookum by Sally Shepherd Wolford. And the foreword in that book is by Autumn Williams. A lot of people know who Autumn Williams are. Most people do. And they wrote this book. And this all has to do, involves the Carbon River and Orting and experiences to a family that occurred out there. And they're not the only one who things have, you know, experiences have occurred out there. And so I was drawn to go out there when... I'm sorry, you guys. I apologize if it's beeping. That's because somebody's trying to call through, but I'm just going to ignore it and keep talking. So you just have to forget.
Yeah, we can't hear it.
Anyway, we went out and parked in this one area because I wasn't able to get a hold of my friend Jennifer to go up there where I had seen, I just label it the tree peeker. And you know which one I'm talking about, Marco Bill.
Yeah.
And, you know, wanted to go up there, but for some reason I just thought, you know, we didn't have a whole lot of time, you know. I had to return to work, you know, 2 days later, and, you know, we needed to get some work done. So I had decided that we would go to this one area, the Carbon River, and after our initial, after the first set of, it, you know, experiences that we had, I took him out to see some fencing that had been torn down. It had been torn down repeatedly. And there are some other activity that could, you know, indicate that they, you know, there's activity there. When we went to the Carbon River, now I'm not going to make any claims that I saw anything because I didn't see anything. It was audible. There was just some things, and there were some visual things out there. There was this, and I was mentioning this last week, we found this little grouping. I'm just going to call it a grouping because I don't know what people use to describe that, but that's what I'm going to say. Off by itself on the riverbed, very near the river flow itself, and it was just these three stones, and it's just the way they were angled right next to each other, like a little slightly arced line. And then there was this teeny-weeny little block of wood all by itself, that the only wood that I could have thought had been carried over across the road from an area where a demolished building had been fenced off and had been all torn up. It just struck me curious, you know, and there was two tiny little, I'm going to call them baby pine cones or forming pine cones that had been put down next to this little grouping. And here it is on the river. It's in a sandy area where there is no other rocks. You know, if I didn't know better, or, you know, the first thing I thought of that crossed my mind was, this is maybe something a child would do, you know, be playing around with these, you know, putting them little, you know, decorative arrangement. But it was really cold that day. It had been flooding out there. There were certain just situations out there, you know, that led me to believe that had to have been done, you know, probably that day, you know, early that day. There was really nobody out there except for Don and I were there, and there were two hunters out there. And the hunters, one of the hunters with their dogs, well, actually both of them walked with us for some time, and then they just kind of set out off on their own. And some time had passed after I took pictures of these, and by the way, I finally found my USB cable, Bill, and so that's kind of a comical situation in itself because I could not figure out for the life of me what I did with it. So I'll get those pictures over to Tom. You can tell him that I'll send those.
Sure.
But in any event, I did take pictures, and when the hunters left, you know, we spent some time talking, and we were talking about the deer, that strange deer hide that we found out there that we were talking about last week, and how the dogs wouldn't go near it. And I just thought that was kind of interesting. Yeah, I just saw some little interesting things in that. But after the hunters left, we kind of they went one direction, we went the other, still along the river. And it hadn't really been all that long a time. I would say maybe 15 minutes, 20 minutes, something like that. We heard a huge crash, just like a gigantic tree just splitting apart. And I didn't see anything because we were looking the wrong direction. But when we turned around, we saw one of the hunters walking up with one of the dogs that we'd just been recently talking to. And he said, "Did you hear that? You know, or did you see that?" And we were like, "We heard something. What happened?" They said, "Well, this huge tree up on this ridge line, you know, on the other side of the river, it's probably 60 feet up. I don't know. You know, it had been cold, and I've heard about the, you know, the theory, you know, how ground, you know, contracts and, you know, as it, you know, melts, you know, some of that ground can give way and the trees can crash to the bottom. However, I hadn't seen any other indications of anything else along that river to show that was happening, you know, that this particular phenomenon was happening, because there was nothing else to show that. But it just happened that the first tree fell probably, I'm going to say, 75 feet from us, 7,500 feet, because when we turned around, we just kind of made this little curve, and there it was, right there. And then the hunter took us right to it. And he says, "I just turned around, and I heard this cracking, and he says, I saw that thing come down. And sure enough, you know, it was a very large tree, and it had hit the ground and just split into quite a few different pieces, chunks. But it, like I said, we're on one side of the river, it's on the other side of the river, and then right at the base of this pretty high ridge. Well, that's fine. You know, we're just thinking, you know, coincidence maybe. Not really trying to read anything into it, but it was curious. But then Don got a phone call, and he had had a personal phone call. He was taking a phone call, and we were standing near the river, and the river was rushing, and it was, you know, everybody knows what a river looks, sounds like when it's rushing. I mean, it can make some noise. And I walked away from him probably, I don't know, 15, 20, 25 feet, something like that, because I was looking for some other stuff, just kind of looking around. And I heard this kind of a moan, just a moan that just kind of went up into a little crescendo and just kind of held for a minute and then just kind of went down, the pitch went down and just trailed off. And that went on for maybe 6 seconds, I'd say. I'm going to say 6 seconds, just roughly. And I kept looking at Don, like I'm looking at him. I'm just watching him to see if he's hearing this, and he's talking. And I thought, you know what? He isn't even hearing this. He's not even hearing this, and I'm standing here hearing this because he would have turned around immediately and acknowledged that he heard it, but he didn't. So when he got off the phone, I asked him. I said, "Did you hear that? Hear what? You know?" And all I knew then, and I thought, okay, I heard it. But he didn't. And so the hunters, we started talking about it, and he walked with us for a while. And as we were walking, this is the other interesting thing. While we were walking, trees started falling off that ridge as we were walking. They weren't falling behind or far ahead or down and around the corner. I just found it curious, you know. I knew what I was listening to. I knew what I heard. But I didn't feel threatened whatsoever. I never felt a single flinch of fear, like we're in trouble, you know, we're being threatened, we're being told to leave, anything like that. I just didn't feel it at all. And, but as we were walking, just, I would say maybe 10 feet in front of us, 15 feet in front of us, as we were walking, another tree would fall. And then a large rock would fall into the river as we were walking. And it wasn't happening anywhere else. It was just happening right there. Now, we didn't get any rocks, pine cones, limbs, nothing thrown at us. And like I said, I didn't feel threatened at all. I had just a feeling. I don't know how to explain it. I really don't. But I had this overwhelming feeling that we were just being told we're here. That I have no other way to explain that. And you know, I'm trying to tell you guys, you know, my little story that's somewhat significant at this point. You know, I haven't proven anything. We didn't cast any prints or anything like that. It started getting dark and we left. But I'm really blown away at what I heard from Morris, and I'd really like the opportunity to talk with him.
I'll be calling him tomorrow morning to give him some more information. What I'll do, if you don't mind, I'll get the telephone number. He can call you.
Well, this goes back. That would be great because I'm listening to him, and I'm going back to some of the experiences that I had from the time I was a child, how I was stalked. You know, I told myself I was, you know, maybe I wasn't being stalked. Maybe I was just being followed. You know, what is stalking? You know, I mean, what is the definition of stalking? We all use that terminology, but I don't think I was I think if it meant to hurt me, it could have hurt me a long time ago. And the creature that, you know, the being, I'm going to say being, that was looking at me, right straight looking right in my eyes. I mean, I never realized until all these years later. I look at it now as a privilege. I was traumatized when I saw that thing. I thought it was going to kill me because it was right there. And I'm realizing, when I talk to people, you know, how many times have you ever heard of one walking right up to a person that is less than 6 feet between them and looking them right straight in the eye.
Not
how many times have you ever heard of that?
I would be able to stand still to do that.
I was a little bit late. I couldn't get out. I couldn't have gotten away from there if I wanted to because I was paralyzed.
Oh, no,
I couldn't move.
And
another thing I'm learning is I want Morris's opinion on something because I'm beginning to think that the reason he was scowling at me is because he wasn't really angry with me. He didn't want me looking at him in his eyes because I was looking right in his eyes, but I felt like he was looking at my soul. And I was, I've always been what I consider a very pure person. And I've been out in the woods. I always went out in the woods playing by myself or riding my horse by myself. I know I was followed all sorts of times. I know I was followed. And I had a phenomenon. I'm not sure I even want to talk about it. I tried to forget it for years, and I've never mentioned it to you or Tom.
How about this? We're going to have you on again. I got one more guest left.
Okay, well, I'll let you then.
I only got 5 minutes for Mitch.
Okay, well,
I'll tell you what, Becky, thanks for coming on. I'm going to call Morris tomorrow. I'll give him your number. We'll get you on again to go on to this next thing that you got.
Yeah, that would be great.
Super. Thanks so much, Becky, for coming on and sharing with us again.
All right, everybody, take care.
You take care, too. Hit the star six button, Becky.
Okay.
Well, everybody, that was Becky Botello, and we kind of finished up from what we left off last week. And now we got Mitch. Mitch has had to take a little trip here. I think, Mitch, are you in Utah?
Yes, I'm in Bountiful, Utah.
Cold?
Yeah, I just snowed a couple of inches yesterday, and it was really nasty.
Gosh. Well, I thought, Alex came on last week, and he told us about your little excursion, and I thought we'd like to get your perspective of it when you went out. And also, get a little kind of a report. You always give us a good little report card on some of your new equipment and testing some of your equipment and things. So I thought I'd like to have you just go over what you and Alex did when you went out there. Give your side of the whole thing and what happened and how everything went.
Well, we went up to our usual camping site and we started setting up camp. And, you know, I was really going to take it easy on Alex because of his back and stuff, but he ended up working me to death.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he was, we had a lot of fun. We visited some sites. I showed him where the tree was tipped over and that was standing on its own trunk. And, that was pretty impressive. And then we hiked in during the day and tried to retrieve my cameras. Now, everything worked pretty good until we got to the last camera and we stopped and looked at the camera on the tree, and something had bashed the infrared lighting's cover and just really smashed or shattered it up to where it was really, the plexiglass was just frosty. So we took it down and looked at the battle damage, and it looked like it had been beat up with a stick or a bunch of rocks, and that was a good 15 feet in the air on the tree. And that's on the videos that I just listed in the chat room if they wanted to go see that. But when I opened it up, some yellow water poured out of it. And it smelled real bad. So whatever can climb 15 feet up and relieve itself on my camera, I guess. A lot of people are telling me it's a squirrel, but that's a lot of water to come out of a camera for being a squirrel.
Yeah. Wow.
So I'm going to go ahead and swab that camera down, and I'm going to send some of the swabs off to the DNA folks and see if we can get it tagged, and then I'm going to go ahead and fingerprint the camera on the outside and see if there's any out of the ordinary fingerprints on there. And I've noticed since I've been doing fingerprinting for Bigfoot, they're dermal ridges on their fingers are a whole lot different than humans. We have swirls, loops, circles, and that kind of stuff. Theirs are almost straight across. So,
that's unique.
Yes, it shouldn't be too hard to figure out if we actually did get a Bigfoot beaten on our cameras. After that, we did some night vision work. I was trying out my new IR floodlights, and that does work very well. If there's eyes out there and they're looking in my direction, it'll light them up like, you know, it's like looking at two flashlights. The IR lighting will put those floodlights and my infrared camera will let me look about 75 yards. So it works pretty good. I'm pretty happy with it. My next time up, I think I'm going to mount the camera and the IR lighting in the back of my truck and have somebody drive us down the road, some of the back roads and stuff like that, and see if we can pick up any eye shine or any movement up in that area. So that's about what we've been doing.
Wow, that's pretty good, as a matter of fact. Now, when do you think the next time you're going to be able to go out there? You're kind of stuck in Utah there for a while, right?
Yes. I'm probably going to get out of here pretty close to the end of April.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I get back and get straightened around, get my bills paid and all that kind of stuff, I'll be headed back up probably around the 1st of May.
Okay.
And then hopefully I'll be able to start producing some more videos for people to watch.
That's great. And one thing I wanted to do, you just had a DVD released. And could you tell us about that and where they can purchase that?
Okay, right now it's on market at Amazon.com. And all you really have to do is search Mogollon Monster, and it'll pop right up, and you'll be able to select it and purchase it that way. It is a DVD. It's a collection of several of the outings that we've done. It was more of a test run than anything else to see how much interest there was and if it was going to be a worthwhile project to continue on. So it looks like it is. It looks like there's a lot of interest in it. So right now we're planning on doing a 10-part series documentary that does a sequential look at everything from 4 years back to where we are now. So that's coming up. That'll be a long-term project.
Oh, yeah. Well, Mitch, I thank you for coming on the show tonight and sharing with us. And I hope you get a little warm over there. Yeah, a little warmer. It's heating up everywhere else, and seems like you got stuck in the coldest part of the planet there. But thank you for coming on, and thank you for sharing. And later tomorrow, I'll put that link up for your DVD on our website.
Sounds good.
Take care, Mitch.
Much.
Thank you so much.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Well, everybody, there we are, right on time. And Tom says for me to tell you guys that he'll be back next week, and he apologized for having to leave tonight. Until then, keep Bigfooting and keep things going, guys. We'll see you next week.
1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries, find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
There were these prints out in Baltimore.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized there was something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, like break in day. We'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is
size and
like
everything else. They just were too realistic.
And they're
to be
frozen like a tree.
Somebody turned
around.
The hand
was freaking
into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot lives a movie at www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Ivan was an old bear tracker. Tom was a man with dreams.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is Marco Bill, and that's the Bigfoot Live radio show for this week. All of us on the Bigfoot Live network would like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests for joining us tonight for an exciting evening of talk show entertainment where you, the listeners, become a part of our on-the-air adventure. And we'd also like to thank you, our listeners, for sharing our adventure with us. Join us again next Wednesday evening for another exciting hour of Bigfoot Live radio show with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. Until then, this is Marco Bill saying good night, and be good, be safe, and be here next week. See you then.
Reason for the fact.